Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. Matthew 28:9. Let's begin in verse 5. The women have come to the tomb on the first day of the week. The angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail!" And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Be not afraid, but go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, there shall they see me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I pray for the grace and filling of your Holy Spirit, dear God, to minister the word to your people. And Father, just direct me and guide me in that, and open our hearts and minds. Help us to learn from the scriptures. And pray for my dear wife in the nursery. Fill her with your spirit and use her watching the children. Heavenly Father, and thank you for the services this morning, for those who came, and Father, for the word that went forth, for the songs of praise. Our desire is that all was pleasing unto you, that it was a sweet savor unto you. And I thank you for the giving of your people. I thank you for the attentiveness. I thank you for the privilege to be a part of the ministry of the word of God, of the spreading forth of the gospel, and of the desire just to see that hope passed on, that we know you're coming again. Lord, that whether we live, whether we die, we will be with you eternally. And we believe in you, therefore we shall never die. And our last breath here will follow our first breath with you. And so we thank you. We praise you for that. Minister to our hearts tonight and just encourage us in your word and the faithfulness of your word. And Father, help us to thank you and praise you. We do thank you for the blessed privilege to take on another missionary and the support of the cooks. What a wonderful blessing. And we do pray you'd help them, speed them on their way in getting the gospel to the farthest reaches of the earth. And Father, we do pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So it is wonderful to celebrate. We now have a missionary on every continent. So, they're not there yet, but they're planning on getting there, okay? And so it's wonderful to be a part of that. All right. Well, I pulled the sheet out of the box there, the question for the pastor. So we're going to look at another one of those tonight and answer some of them. Many may wonder, on the resurrection day, what was the order of things? How did that go, as far as who saw the Lord and what order they went there? And if you have a Schofield Bible, I think it gives a pretty good synopsis of the order of that. I have one. I haven't referenced all that I've studied here. To tell you the truth, I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to line up with that, but I'm going to give you what I think that will help with that. But the question asks more about Christ and his glorified body, and it points out that here in Matthew 28:9, he appears to the woman and says, "All hail." They came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And appeared in Mark 16:19. By the way, if you want to take your finger or a piece of paper or several pieces of paper and put them in Mark 16, at the last chapter of Mark, put one in John 20, and Luke 24, and of course Matthew 28, I think is here where we started. We'll be going back and forth through these books where they talk about the resurrection and looking at the order and seeing how it goes. But the question says, we see another sighting in Mark 16:9, when Jesus had risen early the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. If you found John yet, the passage in John 20:17 says, Jesus saith unto her, that would be Mary Magdalene, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So the question is, kind of states it like this. So Christ has not ascended and was not in his glorified body yet. But was he in his glorified body before Acts 1:9? And of course, that's when the Lord ascends up into heaven in a cloud. Was he in his glorified body before then is the question. Where are we at? Oh, I'm sorry. Christ was not ascended and was not in his glorified body yet, but was he, before Acts 1:9, scarred as he was on the cross? Was his body scarred? And will he be scarred in heaven when we see him? And so we'll take a look at these and maybe learn a few things along the way as well. All right, so we're going to kind of piece together the order of the sightings of the resurrection, because that's when they see his resurrected body. We'll look at some of the things that are done there. So first of all, in Mark 16, 1 through 4, what do we find? We find the women going to the tomb. There are three that get there first. I believe there are several women, more than three that come, but we are told of the three that get there first in Mark 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices, and that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Okay, so we have these women coming. We have these two Marys and Salome getting to the tomb first, seeing the stone rolled away. Now, if you have your finger in John 20 or your mark in John 20, we're going to look at the next event chronologically. And what we'll see next is, Mary Magdalene is among those three women. However, Mary doesn't go all the way up to the tomb. They see the stone rolled away. They notice that. Three women, Mary Magdalene's among them. Pick it up in John 21. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. See that? She's with the other two when she sees that. She seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth. She doesn't go up to the sepulchre. Okay? All three of them come up, but Mary, they all see the stone roll away, but Mary Magdalene sees it and runs back to tell. She sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That would be John. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. So she sees the stone rolled away. She assumes somebody's taken his body. The stones, and so she doesn't go up with the other two to the sepulchre that time. She runs back and tells Peter and John they've taken away the Lord. We don't know where he's at. So pick it up in Mark 16:5 now. Mary ran off. The other women continue up to the tomb, and they entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting in the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. They went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. So they take off, getting ready to spread the news that these angels had given them. Okay, so Mary has gone back to get Peter and John. In the meantime, Peter and John, she goes back, tells Peter and John, well, look at, did I read that? Yes, I read that part already. She came and told them that, did I read this in John 21 and 2? Did I read it already where she said she came into Simon Peter and told them? Yeah. So she's already told them. Now, the other women look in. The angel tells them he's risen. Go tell the disciples. Now, pick it up in John 20, verse 3. In the meantime, Peter and John head for the tomb to investigate Mary's report. They've taken the Lord away. We don't know where he is. John 23. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, that would be John, and came to the sepulchre. They ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Looking, and he stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, and lying the linen clothes, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away to their home, their own home. So John and Peter leave. Okay? Now, Peter and John leave. Now, Mary also arrives at the tomb. She'd gone to tell Peter that we don't know where they've taken him away. Peter and John, where is he? They take off to find out. Mary Magdalene's coming behind him. Peter and John get there first. They look in the tomb. They leave. Now Mary Magdalene has come to the tomb in John 20:11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Now remember, the other ladies have already looked and seen the angel. And they're headed back to tell the rest of the disciples. Okay? Well, Mary Magdalene comes back to the tomb. Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping as she wept. She stooped down and looked in the sepulchre. She seeth two angels. The other ladies only saw what? One. She seeth two angels in white, sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Apparently she's not too moved by the presence of these angels. I don't know if they just appear more just like regular people, you know, but why they would be in a garden with white garments on, I don't know if she's figured that out yet or thought about that. She's distraught, obviously, but she says, I don't know where they've laid him. Verse 14. When she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And that was a mention of it in the question about that some people, they seemed to see him but not know who he was. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, interesting, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now, it's interesting that touch me not, I've not yet ascended to my Father, that touch me not, that phrase there has the idea to fasten oneself to adhere to cling to. He's not just saying, don't even brush me. He's not saying that. You know, in biblical times, they would have long greetings when they saw one another. You know, certain prophets were told, when you have a message, I want you to go and don't stop and greet anybody, by the way, you know, because we don't want you to be there all day. We want you to get the message to them, you know. And Mary, it appears here that Jesus was without this voice to Mary, was expecting a long greeting. And he needs to get somewhere and get some things done. And so we'll talk about that in a minute. But he says, touch me, and I'm not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and tell them these things. I'm going to ascend to my Father and your Father. So Mary departs now to tell the disciples. Now, she's already been to him once, at least to Peter and John. They've come, saw the tomb, left. Now she's headed back to him again to say that she's seen the risen Lord, okay? And now we pick it up in John 20, 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and they had spoken these things unto her. And so she returns to tell the others. And we read about that also in Mark 16, 9. Mary returning to tell the others. When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. She went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive, what? And had been seen of her, believed not. So her second trip back to the disciples, first time she just went for Peter and John. Her second trip after seeing the Lord, and by the way, being the first one to see the Lord, she returns back to the disciples to give them that message, but they don't believe. Now, and Luke just talks about them basically all appearing. Well, we know now the two other ladies that came with Mary Magdalene and the ladies that were coming behind them, they have seen the angel and been sent back to tell the disciples that Christ has risen. So what happens there? Pick it up in Matthew 28:8. Picture the three ladies coming to the tomb. Mary has departed, not looking into the tomb. Peter and John came and looked. Mary told them to. Didn't say anything. Mary went back. Mary to the tomb, saw the Lord, and sends them back to tell them, okay? And now in the meantime, these other ladies are going back to the disciples. Pick it up, Matthew 28. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, the ladies that did look into the tomb, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying all hail. So he's just talked to Mary at the tomb. She came back, remember, and Peter and John left. She tarried and wept at the tomb. He's just talked to her, sent her on her way. But now these other ladies, what? They've already been headed back to the disciples. And the Bible says Jesus appeared to them. They may make it back with their message before Mary does. You see that? Even though Mary saw him first, they may make it back with their message before, because they've been traveling to go back to the disciples. So we pick it up, Matthew 28:8. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And said unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that go into Galilee, there shall they see me. And that held there is not a word like, it has like taking, like holding his feet, but not a grasping, you know, of a long greeting type thing. They bow at his feet. And interesting though, when he did say, not touch me, but it seems it's a little bit kind of a different greeting there. But here they grab hold of his feet. And he tells them to go, tell my brethren to go into Galilee, the same thing there. And Luke just kind of winds it up, because now what we've seen is eventually Mary goes back to tell them she's seen the Lord. She saw him first. The other ladies who have now seen the Lord, they're headed back. They may get there first. And Luke just takes a note about both those groups, Mary Magdalene and the other women. Luke just says it in Luke 24:10. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So whether Mary got back there first or the other ladies, it doesn't really matter. They both got their messages back to the apostles, and what? They believed them not. They believed them not. Other appearances. It seems that while these are going back to tell, the disciples don't believe. This all happens, what, in the morning? It seems that sometime in the afternoon, the Lord appeared to Peter. And we'll see that. We'll see why that is in just one moment. Because he's going to appear to two people walking on the road to Emmaus the same day, the first day of the week, the resurrection day. You'll find that in Luke 24. He's going to appear to the disciples walking to the road to Emmaus. Behold, two of them, Luke 24, 13. Two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. They talked together of all the things which had happened, and came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now that word holden, and this was in the questioning, that them seeing him different, that holden has the idea of being held in check or taken hold of. Their eyes were somehow, they weren't able to perceive it was Jesus. Their eyes were holden. We don't know any more detail than that. And so what happens? He tells them about, he opens the scriptures to them, doesn't he? And he walks along the way. What are you talking about? And haven't you heard? Well, aren't you from not around here? And so they tell him all about Jesus and about the sufferings. We thought it would have been the Messiah. And he says, oh, you fools. You know, Messiah fulfilled the sufferings. Ought he not to enter into his glory? I mean, he fulfilled everything about his sufferings. And now you're wondering, well, how could he rise again? Well, if he filled all the things about his sufferings, my goodness, shouldn't he fulfill the things about his glory, he says? And so he stops and he has dinner. He has breaks bread with them. And then in verse 30 of Luke 24, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. And their eyes were open and they knew him. And he what? Vanished out of their sight. He vanished out of their sight. All right. So, as I mentioned, it seems that Jesus appeared to Simon Peter sometime in the afternoon before these disciples from Emmaus got back to the group in Jerusalem. We'll read on in Luke 24:32. They said one to another, these two disciples, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. They found the 11 gathered together with them that were with them. Then look at Luke 24:34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they, the guys from Emmaus, or the guy and his wife from Emmaus, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was made known unto them in breaking of bread. We're going to hit a pause button right here and clear up an apparent contradiction. If you look at Mark 16, he also talks about the disciples from Emmaus coming back to the group there in Jerusalem. Mark 16 and verse 12. Listen to what Mark writes about the disciples from Emmaus coming to the disciples. After he appeared in another form, I'll talk about that in a minute, unto the two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. So Mark says about the rival, the two came back from Emmaus, they gave their message, and they didn't believe them. Luke writes about the two come back from Emmaus, they said, and they found the disciples saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. So I'm reading that, might think they have found a contradiction there. But if you read on in Luke, we find there's no contradiction. Read on in Luke 24:36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst. He saith unto them, well, that's not where I was looking for. Yes, yeah, 36. Well, thus spake Jesus himself, stood in the midst of them, saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, supposing they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as he didn't say flesh and blood. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Look at verse 41. And while they, what's it say? Yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye any meat? So what has happened here? The disciples come back from Emmaus and give their report. The Jews aren't believing it. Mark tells us that. When they went and told it unto the residue, and neither believed they them. They didn't believe it. But among the disciples, they have some saying, yes, the Lord's risen indeed, and has it appeared to Simon.
See, there's some arguing, there's some testifying going on in the midst of the brethren, because they're not believing, but Peter has seen him this afternoon. So these guys come in, we've seen Jesus, we don't believe, but then right in the midst of, yes sir, Simon has seen him too. So they're testifying that Peter has seen him sometime this afternoon. And so now they're being stirred, but now they're still doubtful, but what? There's some joy bubbling up. And the Bible says, while they yet believed not, they still weren't convinced till who appeared? Till Jesus appeared. They weren't convinced when the guys from Emmaus showed up. They weren't convinced when they testified, Peter seen him this afternoon. They weren't convinced, because remember, it was evening when the disciples of Emmaus came back. Well, Peter seen him already too. But what happens? Jesus himself shows up, and they're like, oh, they still hardly can't believe it. So Mark was right. They weren't believing yet. And Luke was right. There were some saying that Peter's seen him. He's risen indeed. Peter's seen him. And so there was that going on there. They were in the process, so to speak, of being transformed in their unbelief. And finally, the Lord himself has to show up. And then we have in John 20:18, we have our Lord appearing, because remember, somebody wasn't there when he showed up that first time. Who was it? It was Thomas, right? He was not with the group. In Luke 24:36, we just read. So we have the ladies have come, told the resurrection. They've seen it. Mary Magdalene first. The lady second. Peter has seen Christ in the afternoon. They've all come a witness of these things. They're still not convinced yet. And now who appears himself? Jesus. The resurrected Christ. The Bible says about this in John 19. It talks about this time when Jesus appeared right after the disciples of Emmaus get back. They still don't believe them. They don't believe people are saying, yeah, Peter's seen him too. And John 19, I'm sorry, John 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, this is the first day of the week, when the doors were what? Shut. What's that mean? Locked. They're locked in. You're not coming in. Doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus, stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So what happened? Jesus came into a place where they were meeting, and the doors were shut. And he's in a body, okay? And then somebody wasn't there. It was Thomas. 8 days later, John 20:25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord, but he said to them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I'll not believe. After 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, what? The doors being shut. And what? Stood in the midst, and said what? Peace be unto you. And look at this. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Thomas was among the first to have your opportunity to believe without seeing. By the way, we're more blessed than disciples, Jesus says. Blessed are they that had not seen and yet have believed. Many other signs Jesus did. So think about this. Doors being shut. So was Jesus, his body scarred? Was his body glorified? It seems to me that certainly he was. He was in a glorified body already. He said, touch me not to Mary, I'm not yet ascended. What are all the details of that, preacher? Why do you say that? I'm not sure, I don't know, it's not revealed. But a little while later, the same morning, He allows other ladies to grab his feet. He told Mary, touch me not, I've not yet ascended to my Father. I do ascend. I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to my God. I'm ascending. And I don't think personally that he was talking about that ascension that he would accomplish 40 days later. Because he was telling Mary, don't hold me up. Because I'm going to ascend to the Father. And just a little while later, we have him appearing to the women whom the angels had already sent on, and they grab his feet. It's possible he'd already ascended to the Father then. But we also consider, look at Mary. She looks and sees him as the gardener. And then doesn't what? Recognize him till he says, Mary. She recognizes him when he says her voice. We have the disciples on the road to Emmaus. The Bible said one place says their eyes were holden. Their eyes were held. Another place it says he appeared in another form. The base word is like morphous. We get metamorphosized. So was he changed himself? Or was he tweaking their eyes? And he looked the same but looked different to them. Or did he look different and their eyes just looked at what he looked? But either way, they didn't recognize him. Seems he was of a different form, perhaps. And then when he comes to them in that meeting, when they still weren't believing after all the witnesses, by this time it was Mary or the ladies who saw him, whichever got there first. Mary saw Jesus first, but it was either Mary or the ladies, whoever got there first. Peter now has seen him in the afternoon. The two disciples have seen him on the road to Emmaus. And now he appears what? Where the doors are shut. And what's he say? Touch me. A spirit hath not what? Flesh and bone that you see me have. He didn't say a spirit hath not flesh and blood. Now, think about this. I think he was in a glorified body already. He could appear through closed doors. And yet what? He was showing them what? His scars. He even told Thomas, put your hand in my side. So he's already in the glorified body. He can vanish in that body. He vanished before the Emmaus disciples. Somehow he appeared differently, apparently, to either to Mary or to the disciples. Somehow. It seems he was already in a glorified body. And that body that he was in, he was showing them the scars. So really, the Bible leans toward the answer being, yes, he will be scarred in his glorified body. And it's not a hindrance to him in any way. It's a testimony, what? Of his love for us. As it becomes an eternal testimony of his love to you and I. Those scars. And the Bible gives us several prophetic passages that talk about this body of his and how he will, they shall look on him whom they pierced. John 19:37, John quoting Psalm 22:16, talks about his being pierced. And so it seems, yes, he was in that glorified body. So when he was talking to Mary and saying, I've not yet ascended, he wasn't referring to an ascension that, because remember, he hung around for over a month yet, teaching them. And he appeared to 500 at once at one time. But when he was saying, I think he was talking about some kind of a quicker trip he made to the Father and back before then when he said, I've not yet ascended. I'm going. I go to my Father. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Touch me not. I've not yet ascended, he said to Mary. But go tell them, I'm going to take care of some business and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. And I think when he, maybe even as early as by the time before he appeared to the next women, he made that ascension, whatever it was, and came back. But it seems even perhaps when he saw Mary, that body was glorified because she saw him as the gardener. And she couldn't know who he was until he said what? Mary. Is that part of, you know, being in a spiritual body? So think about this. I think about, you know, God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And we talk about absent from the body, is present with the Lord. Stephen said, you know, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So you think, well, when we go see the Lord, when our spirit goes, will we have a body? That's an interesting thought, isn't it? The Bible talks about the different kind of bodies that we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And yes, a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have, Jesus said. But the Bible says that there is an earthly body, and what? There's an heavenly body, doesn't it? There's an earthly body, there's a spiritual body. Didn't say we're just a spirit. It says we have a spiritual body. The rich man in hell lift up what? His eyes. Does a spirit have eyes? I don't know. You know, is there a spiritual body that has? These are things that they're just, you know, mysteries. It seems like maybe there is some kind of an intermediate body that the spirit's in before that dust comes out of the ground. I'm going to preach a message on things that surprise us about heaven, things we always think are true. You know, like, oh, there's no time in heaven. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. And we don't eat in heaven, or we don't need to eat in heaven. Well, that's I don't know. We're gonna look at some of that and look at some of those things we always just assume, but the Bible may have some different pictures of those things. But we have this: is there an intermediate, you know, this body that we receive? You know, Job said, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. There's something personal about that spiritual body. God's going to give us a body. And the Bible says every one of them is different, like the stars are different. Every one of them is different, the body that he gives us. It's designed for us. May have something to do with our relationship with him. He's going to give us a new name, every one of us. And by the way, that name that he gives you, only you and Jesus will know it. Isn't that interesting? Talk about, he's not going to be less personal when we get to heaven, folks. He's given each one of us a name, and only us and each one of us and Jesus will know that. And by the way, somehow that body is going to be connected with who we were on earth. Because when the Lord comes back, where are the saints going to come from that are dead? Up out of the graves. And they're going to be changed. So that very dust that I live in right now is going to be the start, if I die before the Lord comes, of my new body. Of that body. He's going to use that to make my spiritual body and the body I'm eternally going to be in to worship him with. Now, I'll come out of the grave. Or out of the whale, or out of the sea, or out of the fishes, wherever those specks and dust went, he's going to call it back, amen. And it's going to be made a new body. That's an amazing thing. We have an amazing God, I tell you. And we can be thankful that Jesus showed. You know, Paul said he's going to fashion our body what? Like unto his glorious body, and thank. Aren't you glad that he decided to walk around on the earth in one for a while? See, you get a good idea. Look, I can still eat. Look, I can walk through doors, and yet you can feel my arms. You know, I mean, an immortal spiritual body. It was a spiritual body, but yet you couldn't stick your hand through it. But yet he could walk through a door. He could walk through you, but you couldn't walk through him. I don't know how that works, okay? But a spiritual body. That's kind of amazing to me. And just one of those things where we can just kind of enjoy how big our God is. Amen. When we get in that body, we have a home prepared in heaven. And the great part is going to be that body where there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more. It is raised in corruption. It is sown in corruption. It is raised incorruptible. It is sown a mortal body. It is raised an immortal spiritual body. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. I mean, my goodness. It's going to be wonderful, and can you imagine what we're going to feel? You ever be real sick and maybe somebody finds a pill that helps you or something, and you take that pill and all of a sudden you feel better. I mean that the headache goes away or that nausea goes away, and you're like, oh, thank goodness, you know, something worked. Well, can you imagine when that change comes and all of a sudden all the pain of this old body, all the aches of this old body, all the sin of this old body vanishes away. Just gone. And you're in a perfect, holy, powerful, pure body that loves fully the Lord and that is fully ready to go at His bidding and serve Him with all the power of the Holy Spirit, with all the fullness of the fruits unhindered. It's going to be wonderful, isn't it? It's going to be wonderful. And we can look forward to that. We can have our hope set on that. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. And Lord, it does seem that You have chosen to be in this body. Lord, we know that at one time You were in the form of God, and You chose to be in the likeness of men. And as far as we can understand Your word, You're never going to put off that body again. You're going to be even in the likeness of man. When John saw You in Revelation, he saw a form of the Son of Man, the one that he knew. And dear God, You are the Son of God, but he referred to that vision as a Son of Man because You decided to keep this body so that You could relate to us, so that we could relate to You. And Lord, in a way, it's very like what You've given us in creation, this body, but in a greater way. It is so far greater than we can ever understand that we're going to have a body that's like Yours, a glorious body, something familiar. We live in a body now, yet something so wonderful and beyond this world we have not experienced, being unhindered by Your grace and by Your power. And Father, so we look forward to it, and we know that He that believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? And we look forward, Lord, to that home in heaven with You, that new body, that perfect fellowship with You and with each other. And Father, help us to remember to hope in that and praise You for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.